They're idolaters.
Are they as well?
They don't worship the true God.
Is that what we're saying today? I don't think we don't. I think.
Okay, let's
start with that prayer.
Let's start, shall we? Lord, pray. Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. What we're going to do tonight is just lay another foundation about wisdom, and then we will start to build on that in the coming weeks. But for now, we're just going to go to one verse in Proverbs 4, and that's verse 7. And it's a verse I love. And it says this, verse 7, Proverbs 4, 7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. This verse tells us that wisdom, or that the principal thing is wisdom. And that we should have it. And not that we should just have it, but that we should go all out to get it. Now, wisdom is not something that is elusive, and I remember, I think it wasn't that long ago, it was a few weeks ago, that pastor asked the congregation on the Sunday morning, who's wise? And he had to encourage people to put their hands up. Because we don't want to say that we are wise, and we don't want to, because we might feel it's a little bit like false humility to say that. But wisdom is something that we should seek after. It's something that we should grab hold of with both hands and seize it. And it's not elusive. It's not hard to get. We might think, well, you've got to be old, or you've got to be well mature to be wise. No, that's the worldly wisdom. You know, the wisdom of the world says, well, you've got to have experienced a lot in order to impart some wisdom about a subject or a topic or in an area. In actual fact, that wisdom is very easy to get. Now, I say that because the scriptures tell us, and we're going to go there right now, into the book of James. James chapter 1. Because James 1 and verse 5 tells us that wisdom is very easy to obtain. And it tells us how to obtain wisdom as well. Experiencing all these things, wisdom is very easy to get, and James tells us how simple it is to get, because it says this, James 1, 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, and without reproach, and it will be denied him. Given.
Given. I know, but there is a
No, it will be given him. If we ask him, the scripture says it will be given us. It won't be denied us. It won't be refused us. It will be given to him. Now, this is a direct promise from God. Now, there are conditions. So I'm not saying we've just got to, it's about asking God, and then God say, okay, there are conditions attached to this. Actually, we read these in the very next verse. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith. But let him ask in faith. First, we have to ask God for wisdom. That's the first point. You know, whenever we have receive anything from God, God expects us to ask Him. When we pray, we're asking Him for things. If we are sick, or we have a need, and we go to God, we don't go to God and just tell God all our problems. We ask Him to do something about it. Ask Him to heal us. Ask Him to provide. Ask Him to meet the need. Now, we've said this previously, that God already knows the things we need before we ask Him. But that doesn't mean that we don't ask Him. Because the actual scripture we just quoted there says, the Father knows the things you need before you ask. We still have got to ask. And it's the same here. James writes, he says, look, he says, we've got to ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. God is liberal in His giving. He's generous in His giving. You know, the most generous person on earth is not as generous as God. You know, this, and you know, this is something that we often think about, and it's often preached and taught, particularly around the Nativity time when we give and exchange gifts to one another. You know, God so loved the world that He gave. That was God's love in action, giving. And that's because that's what He is. He's a giving God. But it says, let him ask in faith. We need to ask God in faith, believing that we will receive. Again, that brings to mind another scripture. Receive, and then we will have the things that we ask for. We've got to believe. We've got to ask in faith. We've got to... Because if we don't believe we're going to receive, then why do we pray? If you were thirsty and you came to me and said, Peter, he says, I'm really thirsty, can you give me a drink? Can you give me a glass of water or some tea or coffee? you wouldn't ask me for something like that if you didn't expect that. Now, I might say no, but when you ask, you expect that, yes, you might get, or you'll get what you're asking for. Because you know me, you know I'm not that tight. I wouldn't say no to a drink. But because you believe that I'm going to give to you, then you ask. And it's the same with God. You know, when we come to God, with many people, and this is sad, many people actually go through the motions of actually praying prayers and bringing their petitions to God, but they don't actually believe God is ever going to meet their need. But what's the point in praying? That's not praying in faith, is it? That's not praying with expectancy that you're going to receive the answer to your need.
I've seen it happen when I'm in work. I've seen some people, and I don't mean to condemn, but they got it on the radio, and they are repeating it with them at the same time. Uh-huh. They're making a cup of tea, they're doing their toast, and but they're still saying this prayer, and they just have it.
That's a traditional prayer.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not concentrating, it's just habit.
Well, that's another
repetitive type of prayer. And
yeah, it's repetitive.
But we're to believe when we ask.
Repetitive prayers are forbidden in the Bible.
Yes.
You can listen to them again.
Oh, sorry, I'm just trying.
That's okay. But we've got to believe when we ask. And actually, James goes on to say something like this. He says, it's not just about asking, he says, with no doubting. With no doubting. Now, what does it mean to doubt? Well, the word
Mature.
The word comes from, the root meaning of the word is to be, to have two minds. To be double-minded. You know what it's like when you, one minute, yes, next minute, no, yes, no. You're in two minds about something. And it says here without doubt, because it says, he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, we were watching the waves from our apartment.
Great today, wasn't it?
the wind blowing these waves. You know, I've watched them as I walk along the promenade in the mornings. And you know, one day they're blowing this way, the next day they're coming in from this way. Some days there's no waves at all. And, you know, he who doubts is like, they just go with the wind. You know, whichever way the wind blows, that's the way we don't feel good today, well, then everything's going to go wrong. Well, people are like, and you hear them. My auntie, she used to say this. She says, you know, and this is a saying, I don't know whether it's the same in the multi, you have this saying, but so that everything comes around in threes. You say, well, if one thing comes, you've got to expect two and three. Well, and that's the way the world thinks. Why does it have to be three? No, if we're told not to doubt, not to be double-minded, not to go that way. Yes, God's going to meet the need, and then when it gets a little hard, say, oh no, maybe God didn't really want me to have it. And then you read the word and the scriptures and you're encouraged, or you hear somebody say, oh yeah, God does want me to have it. And then the next few moments later, no, it never works for me. I always seem to be in this problem. That's unstable. And that's actually what the scripture says here. It says that man he shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord because he is unstable in all his ways. Now, they're hard words from the apostle, but it's what the scripture says. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, when we come to God, yes, God will give us wisdom freely, liberally, if we ask him, if we ask in faith. I think I've told you this story before, but I had a problem with a car a few years ago. I've got a problem with a car now, but I had a problem with a car a few years ago. And I woke up one Monday morning, I think it was a Monday morning, and we had a lovely silver car, actually a little bit like yours, Pastor Vince, a lovely silver car, and I went out to it on the Monday morning. And some kind person, during the night, had got a can of blue spray paint and sprayed all up the side of the car. And I went to work and I had this on my mind. And as I was driving, I thought, what am I going to do with this car? I didn't want to take it in because, you know, if you run it into the garage and they do a respray on it or something like this, they're going to charge big money. As I was driving, I was driving home and I was giving thought to this problem with the car, my now silver car, which had turned blue. Because the easiest job would be just to write to the DVLA and have them change the colour, but I wanted the silver car. But I was praying about this situation. What must I do? What can I do in this situation? You know, all that. This product came into my mind and my spirit, and I just felt that if I could go find this product. Now, I had suggestions from my colleagues at work. You need to go to the car shop and get some special stuff. But the Lord showed me a little bit of this was the non-abrasive bathroom cleaner. Well, I've got nothing to lose. That was godly wisdom. I prayed about it. I expected God to show me how to get out of a problem. And I got the answer. Now, I went home. I found we had some at home. So I got a little bit, put it on a cloth, onto the car. You know, that blue paint just came off. Wow. Just like he was... You know, when we pray, we should expect God to answer us. When we ask, we lack wisdom. I didn't know what to do in the situation, but I asked God. I believed that he would answer my prayer and he would show me what to do. I got the answer. I didn't say, well, that's just my mind working. Now, don't be stupid, Peter. You know, what's... You know, and I think sometimes we look for more difficult solutions than... The Lord will give us something, we say, oh no, it can't be that. You look at someone like Gideon. He started with an army, or a bunch of people. Was it 30,000 of them? You know, God said to Gideon, he says, you've got too many. You've got too many. He says, and then he gave Gideon some tasks to do, and I don't know quite which order, I can't remember which order they come in, but he took the people down to a brook. I think first of all he asked those who are that fearful, and yeah. if you're afraid of that God, you can go home. And so many left.
I think 22,000 left.
I think it was something like a big number. Yeah. They were just too frightened to go to battle and they left. And then God said, well, Gideon, you've still got too many. He says, take them down to the riverside. So I want them, they can drink from... And Gideon was noted how some of them drank, some got down and put actually their heads right in the water, and others got down and brought the water up to their mouth by their hands. And God said he wanted the ones that drew and brought it up to their mouth. And there was 300 men. And with those 300 men, God gave Gideon a great victory. Now, the wisdom of men is not the same as the wisdom of God. But wisdom, when we talk about wisdom here, I'm not talking about earthly wisdom, worldly wisdom. I'm talking about godly wisdom. Now, godly wisdom is the principal thing. And when we walk in wisdom, it requires diligence. Because it's progress. You know, we don't get all the wisdom that there is to have when we ask God the first time. Now that might surprise you that God doesn't give you all of the wisdom of all of his manifold wisdom in one hit. He gives you what is necessary for the moment.
Amen.
That which you need for that particular moment. And so it's progressive. So you might lack a wisdom in an area and you ask God and he gives you the solution. He gives you the way to go, the way forward. And then maybe along that same path you hit another obstacle and you ask God for wisdom again. And God gives you the wisdom and then you move on. Then you need it again. So it's progressive. But it requires, again, because it's progressive, it requires faith on our part. Step by step, trust in God. Step by step, listening to his voice. That's why it's important we pray and we read the Word of God. You know, we stress this time and again. The importance of prayer and study. Reading the Word. Why? Because that's where we get our wisdom from.
Yes.
Now, I know what you're going to ask me. Well, you may not ask me, but I'm going to... I did not read in the Scriptures. I did not read this verse in the Scriptures when I was asking God about wisdom. It said, thou shalt go and get some bathroom cleaner. Now, that's the Spirit quickened that to me. Godly wisdom came. But our wisdom will come from the Word of God. You know, because that's where God speaks to us. Now when we know his voice, you know, he might speak to us through other things. Now, on that particular occasion, that's perhaps a bad example, because you will not find that in the scriptures. You will not find that backup, but I just was obedient to that inner witness that I had. But if it's a spiritual matter, then this, the answer will be in here. Now, and I'm going to say this because this is important. If God says, or you believe God is saying something to you, and what he is saying to you, you find contrary in the word of God, then God is not talking to you. This is God speaking to you. Well, the Lord told me to do it. This will be, this is your backup. Amen. This is your bottom line. Doesn't matter what else happens, if it doesn't agree with this, then you can dispense with it. Well, we touched on that a few months ago when we were looking, I can't remember which subject I was teaching, but visions, dreams, words of prophecy, even the gifts of the Spirit, they will be backed up by this. And if we hear anything that's contrary to what God says, now, not saying that everything that we hear, there might be just one part of a message. Everything might be good except this one part. Well, that one part, then just dispense with it. But stick to what God's word says. That's the backup. Now, we read in that verse in Proverbs 4 that wisdom is the principal thing. Now, what does that actually mean? Wisdom is the principal thing. Well, the principle is the first. It's the principle is the chief, the captain, the head. The principle is the beginning and the best. And one other word I read, which I thought really good, was the principle is the choicest part. So there we have a number of different definitions of this word principle. The first in place, time, order, or rank. The chief, the captain, the head. It's the beginning and the best. It's the choicest part. That's the principle. Actually, some of the most translations on that verse actually say wisdom is the principal thing. But there are a few others which say slightly different, which all around this thing, either being the first, the chief, the beginning. And I just want to read some of these to you. I think it's good to go to different translations and just see what they're saying. Here's one, the International Standard Version. This is just the first phrase in that verse. Verse 7 of chapter 4. Wisdom is of utmost importance. Wisdom is of utmost importance. Today's English version, or the Good News Bible, and the New Living Translation say this: getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. The New Century says something very similar. It says wisdom is the most important thing. The Bible in Basic English says the first sign of wisdom is to get wisdom. The first sign of wisdom is to get wisdom. If any of you are using the NIV, the New International Version, you're reading there, it says, wisdom is supreme. The Amplified Translation, which is one that I like and use often, the beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. I'm going to finish these few translations with the message. This is a paraphrase, not a translation. So this is one man's take on it. But I just like what he says here. In the message it says this: above all and before all, do this. Get wisdom. Above all and before all. So what is wisdom? How can we define wisdom? And I've come up with a definition. I can give you the dictionary definitions, and we're going to look at some of the Bible words translated wisdom in a moment. But my definition of wisdom is this: it's the ability and act upon God's principles for righteous living. The ability to judge accurately and act upon God's principles for righteous living. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, this chapter we're in, verse 11 says this: I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. The ability to judge accurately God's principles, and I have led you in the right paths to act upon them. In the Amplified Translation of that verse, it defines wisdom. It says, I have taught you in the way of skillful and godly wisdom. And it says this: which is comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. What a great definition of wisdom. Comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. Now, that's a couple of definitions of wisdom. But what we're going to, just very briefly, I just want to look at three main words in the scriptures which have been translated as wisdom. Now, there are quite a few. If you look through any good lexicon, you'll see that I think there's probably about, 9 or 10 different words in the Bible which have this translation of wisdom. But there are three main ones. One in the Old Testament and two in the New. Now, one of these words, again, you'll have to forgive me because I may not get the pronunciation of them correct. I don't speak Hebrew, and I certainly don't speak Greek. But is chokmah, an Old Testament word which means to be wise in mind, purpose, and act.
Wise in mind,
purpose, and act. Now, this Old Testament word tells us that wisdom is the knowledge and the ability to make the right choices at the appropriate time. It's not just the knowledge. If you can have all the knowledge and not act upon it, well, that's not wisdom, is it? That's foolishness.
What was it, knowledge
and the ability to make the right choices at the appropriate time. If you know what to do and don't, if you know what to do and don't do it, that's sin, the scripture says. Apart from being foolish, it's sinful to know on a matter and we don't act upon that wisdom, then it's foolishness. Come with me. We're going to go. Come with me to the Exodus 28. Now, this word chokmah, if that's the correct pronunciation, the first time we find it in the scriptures is in Exodus 28. And actually, this gives us a little insight into the purpose of wisdom. first mention of this word is in relation to making the priestly garments for the service of ministry in the tabernacle. And in verse 3, it says this. Exodus 28, verse 3. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. God speaking to Moses, he says, look, he says, I have chosen artisans, and I have put within them the spirit of wisdom. And they are going to make Aaron's garments, which are going to be used for the service of ministry, as he ministers as priest. Now, one of the primary purposes, I believe, from this scripture, one of the primary purposes of wisdom is to enable us to serve God and minister to him. Yeah, we might say, well, we need wisdom to get out of a problem, or we need wisdom in a situation. But the primary purpose of wisdom, godly wisdom, is that we might minister to God and minister to others. The second word translated wisdom in this, or the second main word translated wisdom, actually is a New Testament word, a Greek word, which is the word Sophia. If you want to write that down, chokma is C-H-O-K-M-A-H. Sophia is S-O-P-H-I-A. Chokma, C-H-O-K-M-A-H. Sophia. Sophia is a New Testament, a Greek word found in the New Testament, translated as wisdom, and the literal meaning of this word is to see through. To see through. And Sophia, if you're making notes, Sophia is the ability.
Was that
Chokmah,
the first one?
Chokmah was the first one.
To see through.
No, that's Sophia. Oh. Sophia means to see through.
To see through is what I wrote down here.
It's the ability to discern what is happening and to look ahead with hope to a good end or a good result.
Sophisticated as opposed to simple.
Uh-huh.
Ability to discern what's happening.
And to look ahead.
And to look ahead. And chokmah?
Chokmah is the knowledge and the ability to make right choices at the opportune time. Now, Sophia is... If you know your Greek scholars, Joseph Thayer writes in his lexicon, he writes this, he says that Sophia is broad and full of intelligence, and it's used of the knowledge of even the very diverse matters. Now that's it's not language I normally use, but it's that ability to look, to see through a problem, and to look at the end result. Then the third and final word that's translated, or no, perhaps I shouldn't say third and final, the third main word translated as wisdom, again, is another New Testament word, and this is phronesis. P-H-R-O-N-E-S-I-S. Phronesis. And again, this means has the meaning of understanding, like all wisdom is understanding something. But phronesis is more of a practical wisdom, that we actually do something, we're acting upon what we have received or we've understood or perceived.
How would you use this word? When would you
you use this word?
Wisdom?
Yeah, how would you...
No,
do it. You're going to say, God, I need phronesis. You know, I mean, would you say that? How would you use this
word? Okay. I'll give you an answer. Come with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Now, phronesis is just simply acting upon the wisdom that you have. Matthew 7. Here we have... Here we have the word phronesis. In Matthew 7, verse 24. Well, this isn't the word phronesis, this is this is part of phronesis, but this is actually wise, not wisdom. So it's, it's part of it. It's, Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Remember, phronesis is taking action upon the wisdom. Whoever hears these sayings of mine, hears the word of God and acts upon it, is acting in true wisdom. So, as we think about wrapping it up tonight, because time's running out on us, we can confidently say, I think we can confidently say that true wisdom is the ability, which is my definition, to accurately discern, judge, and act upon God's principles. Because as we look at wisdom, and we're talking about godly wisdom, Don't confuse this with the wisdom of the world. Godly wisdom, or the wisdom that comes from Him, affects our attitudes and behavior. Why? Because it changes the way we think and the action we take. It directs our thoughts. Godly wisdom determines our choices. Don't misunderstand how I'm going to use this next word. That godly wisdom controls our tongue. Amen. I used to be told by quite a few people that I was very indecisive. Mainly because I don't say a lot. What do you think? Well, let me think. Then I'll give you my answer. The scripture says this, he who restrains his lips is wise. How many times have we suddenly, something's happened and we've suddenly rattled off with our tongue and our mouth and we've said things and then we think, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't. And then we're filled with regrets. And then we have to go and apologize. Then we have to repent. Godly wisdom controls our tongue. Godly wisdom guides our steps. We're going to look at some of these in depth in later weeks. Godly wisdom protects our ways. You want to know how to stay on the right path and not to make a mistake, well, godly wisdom will do that. It will protect your ways. You're not sure whether it's right to do a certain thing or make a decision. Godly wisdom will protect you. It will guide you. Of course, the Book of Proverbs, which extols the virtues of wisdom, and we haven't got time tonight to look at the challenge. You don't have to read the whole chapters, but just look at some of them. But go to Proverbs chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, which we are in now, chapter 5, chapter 7. See how many times, as you look through those chapters, wisdom is connected to the Word of God. Just to finish, let's go with one of those scriptures. We're in the same chapter, chapter 4. Proverbs 4. So basically I'm telling you to look at chapters 2 to 7. But if you look at chapter 4, verse 20. Now, chapters 2 to chapter 7 are extolling the virtues of wisdom. The value of wisdom. Why we need wisdom. And you'll see. In chapter 4 it says this. Verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Now we've got to believe this is God speaking to us. Yes, it might have been Solomon writing to one of his children. Or he said, my son, give attention to my words. Can you always hear God shouting out that to you? You know, listen to what I'm saying. And you won't make a mistake. Listen to me. He says, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. We touched on this on Wednesday night. About the Jewish people, and you know, they had to bind the promises of God, the words of God, on their foreheads, and they were told to put it on the doors, and you know, to write it, to talk about it. He says, "Keep them in the midst of. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." He says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Again, as we heard this morning, Brother David sharing, you know, it's up to us. We've got to make that. We've got to remove our foot from evil. We've got to make sure that we don't walk in those ways. Just as he said, we're not to go after other gods and serve idols. Then listen, the next verse. He said, well, that's the end of, well, let's go into chapter 5. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. You know, lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. Wisdom, the value of wisdom. What is wisdom? It's the principal thing, and it's the beginning of our walk with God. And we will see, God willing, as we go deeper into this, that wisdom... Well, it is the Word of God. It's Jesus. Jesus is our wisdom. You know, when we put Him first, and He is the principal thing, then our ways are established. And we'll go on with that, God willing, next time. Amen.
Can I have it on the schedule?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm going to do